It's real nice to be with you this evening. It's a true pleasure. And it's also wonderful that we can enjoy a day of prayer in our nation. It's a lot to be thankful for that we still have at least a national day of prayer. Amongst all the things that we have lost, it's a wonderful thing to rejoice in and to support and to give thanks for. Prayer truly is the pulse of a Christian. It's the pulse of a Christian's life. And the Lord is looking for prayers. He's looking for righteous prayers. He's looking for earnest prayers, people who pray earnestly. He's looking for always prayers, people who are always in prayer. He's looking for believing prayers. For we remember that without faith it is impossible to please God. So we must have believing prayers. And definitely as we seek to answer these opportunities of pleasing the Lord and of being what the Lord wants us to be as praying people, and how appropriate it is that we should consider these things and have a prayer meeting day on the day of prayer. And as we seek to answer these opportunities, I've just dissected a viewpoint of prayer into three different categories. I'd like to start tonight with considering the aptitude of prayer. The aptitude of prayer. That's our skill in praying. It's our ability to pray. It's a special fitness for prayer. It's our aptitude, our ability to perform. And I looked at what is my aptitude, what is my level, what is my ability to perform prayer, in prayer. And definitely this is an important aspect in a Christian's life. But I think it starts with a foundation. It has to start with us being able to have the privilege, the ability to pray. And the foundation which creates an aptitude of prayer is our salvation. The foundation which creates our aptitude to pray is our salvation. And I thought of the story in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll read a few verses starting in the first verse, the ninth chapter of Acts, that shows us the foundation which creates our aptitude for prayer, starting in the first verse. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now let's skip over, please, to the tenth verse. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord, to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. This is the foundation which creates the aptitude of prayer. It's the beginning point that it gives us the ability to pray. And in this passage we've just read, we see the story of a man who defiled the name of Christ, who knew not the Lord. And in the fifth verse, he said unto the Lord, he said, Who art thou, Lord? And this is the place where Paul was converted, where his salvation began. And this is the place where Paul laid the foundation for prayer. And we remember the verse, For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is the place that Paul came to in this ninth chapter of Acts, and that brought him to the foundation point which creates the aptitude for prayer. Then I'd like us to look at the function that fulfills prayer. We see that there's a foundation which creates it. Now there's a function which fulfills it. And the function which fulfills prayer is our ability to communicate, our ability to respond or to talk back and forth with the God of heaven. And after we've been saved and come into this experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him as our personal Savior, we are then able to function in the aptitude of prayer. We are able to function in communication with our Lord and Savior. It's a relationship that allows us this. And I was thinking of a few verses which I'll just read to you if I may, from Matthew 26:39. And Jesus went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. In John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. In Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. In Luke 5:16, He withdrew Himself to the wilderness and prayed. And these are examples from the life of our Lord when He was here upon the earth that show the need of communication and the function of communication. The act where Jesus showed us that in His earthly life that it was an important part of His life to communicate with His Father, which was in heaven. And definitely, as we look at our aptitude of prayer, our ability to pray, we have to have a foundation. And then after we have a foundation, we have to be able to have a function which fulfills it. And that's the communication part. And it's a two-way communication, right? It goes up, we talk to the Lord, and then He also responds. And Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. In 1 John 5:14, we read this, And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And verse 15 says, And we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of Him. And truly, God does hear. This makes communication two-way. This makes communication fulfilling. And this is the function which fulfills our aptitude of prayer. And then thinking of another aspect of our aptitude of prayer, there's fundamentals which teach it. And as we look at fundamentals that teach us how to pray, of course, my mind immediately goes to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus' disciples were talking to them, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I don't want to but briefly touch on this passage. We've enjoyed so many sermons on the Lord's Prayer as given to us in John 6. But definitely it's important for us to focus that when Jesus said to His disciples, this is the manner, He made it real clear who you talked to, and that was to the Father, our Father which art in heaven. And He also made it real clear that when you do it is always. He also made it clear that what we do when we talk to Him is, of course, we ask. And as we're told in Matthew 7:7, that we ask and we shall receive. But it's very important as we look at the aptitude of prayer that we realize there has to be a foundation, there has to be functions which fulfill it, and there has to be fundamentals which teach it. Then I'd like us to look at our attitude in prayer. We have an aptitude to it. We have an attitude in it. And the attitude in prayer is a disposition of, or the emotion of. It's what our prayers should be. What frame of mind are they? And the first one I wish to draw our attention to is an attitude that's filled with faith. And I want to read you a few verses. Let me interject this. You know, a good preacher can fill 30 minutes with three verses. And then there's those of us that are on the other side of the coin, and we have to use 30 verses to fill 3 minutes. And that's me. And, you know, my wife gave me two instructions for today. One of them was, she said, honey, keep it simple. You know, just use a few verses. And then the other was get a haircut, and I didn't do either. So you'll have to forgive me. But as we look at our attitude in prayer, the attitude must be filled with faith. And in Matthew 21:22, it reads this way, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in faith, in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." Hebrews 11 makes it real clear also the great, great requirement that God puts on faith, on believing as we pray. And of course, we're well accustomed to Hebrews 11, that wonderful chapter that lays out those heroes of faith. And God cares that we have an attitude that's filled with faith. Also, God cares that we have an attitude that's flowing with forgiveness. So as we look at our attitude in prayer, it must be filled with faith and flowing with forgiveness. I wish to read you a few verses. The first, Mark 11:25, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have anything against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." Verse 45 says that ye may be the children of your Father, those with His likeness. And definitely, we must have an attitude flowing with forgiveness to have the right attitude in prayer. We also must have an attitude of focus. We must have an attitude of focus. And when we focus on the act of praying, it's important that we remember our condition and His position. Correct? So we look at our condition and we know that we are only sinners saved by grace. We are all just normal people saved by grace. But we have a opportunity because of His position. Because He died for us and rose again. Because He now sits at the right hand of God the Father, fulfilling our salvation, securing our salvation. We therefore, as we're told in Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us." So we have to definitely have an attitude that's focused on our condition and His position, so that we know where we're going and how we're getting there. So we've looked at the aptitude of prayer. We've looked at an attitude in prayer. I'd like us to look at another one, an altitude of prayer. Now, this one's a little bit off the wall, and I'm going to borrow a few buzzwords from the pilot world or from the aviation world. And when we think of altitude, I want us to think tonight briefly of how high, all right, how high. So we look at our altitude of prayer. And there's an absolute altitude that means a lot to a pilot. That's the actual physical height above the earth that you are. And when I thought of the absolute altitude, I thought of that as our physical altitude when we pray. And I thought of four things that I found in the Word of God that talked about our physical altitude. In Matthew 26:39, we're told that we can pray falling on our face. The Lord gave us that example. In Ephesians 3:14, we have given the example of bowing while praying. And then in Acts 9:40, in Acts 20:36, in Acts 21:5, and Luke 22:41, we're given the example of kneeling as we pray. These are physical altitudes, right? Starting at the ground and working up a little bit. And then our Lord gave us one in John 17, the first verse, that has a standing altitude. Because Jesus, when He gave that great high priestly prayer in John 17, He stood and raised His hands toward heaven. And that is another altitude. But then I thought about a spiritual altitude. And I would like to use the buzzword of density altitude for this one. That's something that's very important to a pilot too, because density altitude is pressure altitude that's adjusted. In other words, it's something that you adjust on a regular basis. And density, of course, is the ratio of the mass of a substance to the volume of a substance at a given temperature. And when you think of density, we're thinking of something that changes. So I'd like to look at this as our spiritual altitude, because there is a problem that happens to us Christians in our spiritual altitude. And, of course, that problem is explained for us, as Brother Rowan already prayed in Isaiah 59:1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid your face, his face, from you that he will not hear." This is a spiritual altitude problem. And I call this low prayers. These are the prayers that, this is when we pray that the prayers don't go any higher than our 10-foot ceiling. And there is a spiritual altitude that we must pay attention to have the proper altitude of prayer. Matthew 6:5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And of course, we're well accustomed. It's born in every one of us to know those problems. But that's the 10-foot prayer. And of course, the solution is also very near to the heart of every one of us that know the Lord is our Savior. The solution is 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that is the solution to the low altitude prayers. And as we think of adjustable altitudes and adjustable prayers, it's very important that we remember that the proper altitude comes in the heavenly prayers. When our relationship is right with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know that we are walking in proper communication, as we sang in our song a little earlier, then we can make prayers that are effective and that go all the way to the throne of God. And that's what I'm concerned with when I think of the altitude of prayer. We've looked at the aptitude, the attitude, and the altitude. And I'd like to just take in my last few minutes and cover some activity of Christ in prayer. I picked out 16 times in the Gospels where our Lord's prayer activity is shown to us, and it's different aspects. And none of this, of course, is original with me. It's supposed to be in a chronological order. And in Luke chapter 3, and I'm just going to kind of rush through these so I can get it all out. In Luke chapter 3, we're told that Jesus prayed in times of blessing. In Mark chapter 1, we're told that he prayed early. He went out early in the morning to pray. In Luke 5, we're told that he prayed habitually. In Luke 6, we're told that the Lord prayed all night. In Matthew 14 and John 6, we're told that he prayed during times of temptation. In Luke 9, we're told that he prayed with others. He joined in prayer with his disciples. Again in Luke 9, he prayed in radiance. His face was aglow as he prayed. In Luke 10, he prayed in times of joy. In Luke 11, he prayed with power. In John 11, he prayed with faith. In John 12, he prayed with a listening ear. In John 17, he prayed for others. In John 17, he also continually interceded for his own. In Matthew 26, he triumphed in trial through prayer. And in Luke 23, he prayed while dying. In Luke 24, he prayed at dining, when he was dining with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. We've had the privilege tonight to consider several things concerning prayer and concerning the aptitude and the attitude and the altitude and then Christ's actual examples of prayer. And I was thinking of a song that I'd like to read to you if I could. It's one, of course, that's very familiar, I know, to every one of us. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By His dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might give another who had crossed your way? When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change our night to day. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. May we close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have tonight of looking at a short devotion from Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness to us. We thank You for the privilege that we have of bowing before Thee and praying. We thank You, Lord, for taking us to the place where we saw our need as a lost sinner for salvation. We thank You, Father, for the grace that taught us and the love that brought us to the fold. We thank You, Father, for the wonderful plan of salvation that changed our lives and made us Your dear children. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of You, and that we have the privilege, Lord, of learning more and more how to pray as we communicate with You on a day-to-day basis. We thank You, Father, for the privilege that's ours to testify. And Lord, we know sometimes that we testify through our life and our style. We also testify through the things we say and don't say. And we also realize, Lord, that we have the privilege sometimes of testifying by praying. And we do pray, Lord, tonight for all those that are on our list, in our bulletin, that are sick and in need of Your special care. We ask especially, dear Lord, for everyone that's on that list, that You'd touch their hearts tonight. We thank You that we can pray these requests in faith, believing, knowing that You hear us and knowing that You care and knowing that You're faithful. And we do ask that You would touch each one here in this group tonight, in our assembly, and may each of our hearts be encouraged by Your Word and by Your faithfulness. And Father, we thank You as we think of our assembly, that there's many other churches in this town and in this land that also today on this National Day of Prayer have set aside time to put forth special effort to talk to Thee and to broadcast the beautiful freedom that we enjoy in this country. And we do again pray for our nation, Lord. And we ask again, as we have already tonight, that You would bless our country. Bless America. And may we, Lord, be able to return to some of the fundamentals that our nation was built upon. And may this National Day of Prayer be strengthened. And may each of us Christians be faithful to support these things and to encourage them and to strengthen them in our communities. And Lord, we do ask that as we look to You to bless our nation, that You'd help us to each be responsible to do our part, to be faithful stewards of what You've entitled to us, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, also for those that are in the nursing homes tonight. We think especially of those that are just physically and mentally not able to function normally. And we ask that Your special hand of blessing would be upon them. And Lord, we thank You that we can trust You for each day and for each step of the way. We do thank You again, dear Lord, too, for the elders in our assembly here. And we ask, Lord, that You would encourage and strengthen them and help them as they seek to lead us and guide us. And thank you again for this opportunity to be together tonight in this prayer meeting. And may our hearts go forth with full devotion to you, Lord, seeking to please you every day in every way. We thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.